Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Let's open with hymn number 84.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. Be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto thee that of thy mercy and compassion thou didst suffer thy dear Son to become incarnate, and didst through him redeem us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech thee, enlighten our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace, and comfort ourselves with the same in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The epistle lesson for this day is found in the second chapter of Titus, the 11th through the 14th verse, reading as follows. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Here ends the epistle lesson. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us worship and bow down before him. Hallelujah.
Gospel for this day is found in the second chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 14th verse.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 76. grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the 2nd through the 7th verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, shine upon our hearts with the light of thy child Jesus, our Savior come down from heaven. Amen. Dear friends of the Christ child, our great and glorious Redeemer, there is a threat quite active today that has grown greater every year. It is the attempt to suppress the celebration of Christmas in every arena of life. The battle has been fought on two fronts primarily. First, in the arena of ideas. The miracle of the birth of Christ has gained for itself many competitors, such as Santa and Rudolph and Frosty. Things that are innocent enough by themselves and are really just silly stories. And as long as they remain just silly stories and are given their proper place, there's no harm in them. But men with agendas are using these stories bit by bit to obscure the divine light of Christ by supplanting the symbols of Christmas with secular symbols and the gospel of Christ with generic good wishes. The second arena of this battle is being fought in the public square, where men openly oppose the public acknowledgement and celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. The battle of ideas has been going on for many years, but the battle in the public square for much longer. Long before the myth of Santa Claus had become an American tradition, in the colonial days, the Puritans who came from England to America to escape religious persecution became the persecutors, vocally insisting, often with the force of law and the sword, that Christmas must not be celebrated by any church and that no pastor be allowed to preach concerning the birth of Christ. Yes, before there were Jews with their Hanukkah and Muslims with their Ramadan, communists with their Kwanzaa and atheists with their objections, demanding equal time or suing for the removal of any public display of the Nativity, there were Christian sects doing far worse, forbidding the preaching of the birth of Christ. Today, of course, the cult called the Jehovah's Witnesses openly opposes Christmas. To respond to such men, I ask, was it right for the angels to rejoice at the birth of the Savior? Was it right for Simeon to rejoice in the temple that his eyes had seen salvation as he held the Christ child? Was it right for the prophets to declare that the coming of this child should be hailed with great joy? Was it right indeed for the prophet Isaiah to foretell of the multiplying of joy with which the people of God would greet their newborn king, the Son who is also the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Of course it was right for angels, prophets, and faithful to declare their joy. If there is a single word which can capture the entire meaning of Christmas, it is this one word, joy. Or better still, rejoice. For how can we not rejoice when our salvation has come? Let those who seek to eliminate the celebration of Christmas, whether for secular or religious reasons, do what they will. We shall still rejoice that Jesus Christ is born. And how could we not? If there is any birth worth celebrating, it is the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the most wondrous child the world has ever known. Unlike every other man who has ever been born, or ever will be, into the world, Jesus is the one who brings an everlasting kingdom and everlasting peace to men. Look at our lesson once more and see the reason for the people's rejoicing so that you too can share in their joy. First, we see who it is who rejoices. They are called the people that walked in darkness and who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Those words describe us and every man who is born into the world. We are born from darkness, for we are conceived in sin, and from the day of our birth there is no light or truth in us. We walk in darkness because without the Son of God, there is no light. These words describe the opposite of joy. To dwell in the land of the shadow of death means to have the very real threat of eternal death hanging over our heads constantly, ready to strike at any moment. For it is not called the shadow of death because it has no substance. Death exists, and it is so real and near that it casts its shadow over us long before we die. Not all men who dwell in darkness will rejoice in the light of the coming of Christ, as we surely see in this our day. Some men love the darkness because it allows the nature of their deeds to be hidden. Because light reveals secrets, but men delight in their sins and do not want their deeds exposed. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Light has come into the world," and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But there are others who are lost in darkness and desperately wish to be rescued from it. And the coming of Jesus gives them cause to rejoice. For he comes to rescue them from their sins and dispel the shadow of death by promising them eternal life, so that that death which is still there no longer threatens. Its shadow is no longer cast over them. It is about such people that our lesson speaks when it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them hath the light shined." But what is this light? What does it do for them? "You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And their rejoicing is certainly right and good, for it is the Lord himself who has increased their joy by doing a great and marvelous work among them. "You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian." The yoke or the staff of the shoulder, picture the staff by which one hung heavy burdens over their shoulders and around their necks. Such was the burden of our sin. In the days of Gideon, the Lord gave Israel over the people of Midian that should have been impossible. The enemy was so numerous that they were described as grasshoppers. Even so, with a mere 300 men, they were conquered by Gideon, for the Lord declared, "I have delivered them into your hand. And so it shall be for the Lord's anointed. He has delivered all of the things which oppress us into his hand." So even as the Lord alone brought victory to Israel, so also it is the power of the Lord alone which shall entirely end the reign of sin, death, and the devil, and bring in everlasting peace. So complete is the victory which Christ will bring that the text goes on to say, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Sin and death so oppressed the people that they were as slaves to it. But so complete shall the victory of the child who shall be born be that all the implements of war, the soldiers' boots, the bloody fighting garments which they once wore would no longer be needed anymore. They would be cast aside. They would be burned up, used as fuel for the fire. But the peace of Christ will not end at the borders of Jerusalem, but will spread abroad to fill the earth. And it will increase until the day that all creation has been brought under the power of Christ. And on that day, sin and death shall end and reign no more over the children of men. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. A son, a particular son. For there are many sons who are born into the world, but Christ is the son above them all. The son who fulfills all the promises of God. The seed of Abraham, that single descendant, who all of God's promises are kept, that every nation on earth should be blessed in him. To him is given the government of his father David. He is born to rule, and the nature of his rule is unlike any other. He brings everlasting peace, but he does not bring it in the way that men think. His names declare the nature of this child. Wondrous Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is called Wondrous Counselor. And why should this be mentioned first? Because it is by his counsel that he conquers. His weapons are not swords and spears and guns. He conquers with his voice. With his word, he sets men free from sin and death. What wondrous counsel, indeed, that he, with his words, could transform men from the lost to the saved. He works such wonders because he is no mere man, for he is the mighty God. Nothing else can explain how he does what no man can do, conquer sin and hell. What man in all of his might could touch these foes? They are beyond him. They are too powerful. No human might would ever be sufficient to grant victory. And men have tried for thousands of years and have failed and will fail. Only the power of the Almighty God can end the reign of death over men. This child then shall be called a son indeed, a son who is God. But if he is a son, he is also a father. Not a father to God, for he is the Son of God. Rather, he is a father to us. He rules over us not as a cruel tyrant, but as a father with the greatest care and compassion. He provides everything we need for body and soul. He gives to us the bread of life. And he does so not just for a day or for a long time, but forever. If we eat and drink this food, we shall never hunger nor thirst again. When he declares that our sins are forgiven, this is food that is never exhausted. Our sins are never too great or too many for him. He overcomes them all and supports us with his counsel and with his voice and all of his almighty power, and yet he does so tenderly as a dear father. And finally, he is called the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. From that day forward, it continues to increase. For his peace is everlasting. He alone can reconcile man to God completely and permanently. World peace can be achieved for a brief time, in some places, in some ages, but it always finally fails. But not so the peace which Jesus brings. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace because, unlike the kingdoms of men, he does not conquer with weapons and threats. He conquers our hearts with peace. To us who mourn our sins, who walk in darkness, he speaks comfort and peace. He declares, I have made you to be at peace with God. Your sins are washed away. Behold the love which God has for you. And with such gospel comfort, his kingdom grows and spreads. What king ever conquered like this? And he is a king indeed. For that too is his name. He sits upon the throne of David, his father, according to the flesh, because he is the promised son who fulfills God's promise that David's line would finally come to rule forever. Even the Jews understood this well. For when Jesus asked the Pharisees, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? They immediately answered, the son of David. So also Christ Jesus rules and reigns for all eternity. And through his kingdom rules in our hearts today. And it will finally overcome every foe and subdue all creation to his will when he comes to rule forever on the last day. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord's zeal, because it is not for our great righteousness, our paltry works, or anything all that we have done that moved God to do this glorious work in his Son. It is his zeal for his own honor, zeal for his dear people. For so great is his love that he will move heaven and earth to redeem us. May Christ, the Son of David, the mighty God, the wondrous child born of a virgin, extend his kingdom into your heart today and fill it with great rejoicing. May he conquer your sins with his word of peace, so that he can justly judge you to be his own dear child, from henceforth, even forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord God, gracious Father, who in the fullness of time didst send thy Son to assume our flesh and become our brother, we thank thee for thy truth and fatherly goodness in giving us this Savior, by whose birth we are delivered from sin, death, Satan, and hell. And we beseech thee, keep us until the end in true knowledge of our Redeemer, that with all the holy angels we may rejoice at his nativity, and behold him together with thee and the Holy Ghost in glory and majesty, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 94.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn 97.
Oh,
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello.